Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
It was an interesting thing watching my father when I was a little boy, just about 6 years old, 7 years old, and he was so proud that he was going to be able to help build a home for his family. He had grown up without much, and he worked hard. He was an X-ray technician, a skill that he had learned when he was in the Army. And he and mom worked at various jobs as a secretary and elsewhere. She finished her education later, but he was so proud to be able to build a house for us. And even though it was just a small little house, it wasn't anything all that special. To Dad, this was great stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure your memories of it are how special you felt because
You
were going to have your own room.
My own room, that's right. And this is where it was going to be. I was standing there. It's nothing but grass, you know, where I was standing. And then we'd go out every day as the plumbing went in and the foundation. And then, of course, you know, the wall started going up. Dad was just thrilled beyond belief as he watched this house where he was going to house his family going up.
You know, there's something about the sense of belonging that you get when you know that there's a house being built for you. You know, we had the same situation with my husband. We bought a house that wasn't built, and we would go there to the lot and just have picnic there or anything, just because this was our lot. I mean, nothing was, you know, yet built, but somehow we knew that it was there and that we belonged there. And chapter 21 of Revelation, which is our chapter for today, is probably one of the chapters that have been used for comfort the most from book of Revelation, because it shows the very end, what it looks like when we're done with all the evil and when there's no more tears and no more death, which is even difficult to imagine
right now. My father-in-law, who was a godly man, died just 1 week before his 93rd birthday, loved Revelation 21 and 22. In fact, we read it at his funeral because this was so very special to him. It really was.
So today we're going to concentrate on the first part of Revelation 21. Now, a very important concept to understand is that the first three chapters of the Bible are reversed in the last three chapters of the Bible. In Genesis, we have the creation that God does and the preparation of the garden where he puts the tree of life. And then we have the creation of humankind for intimacy with him. And then in chapter three, we have evil entering.
That destroys all of that.
Yeah, the serpent coming in and kidnapping his children. The last three chapters of the Bible reverse that. On chapter 20...
It restores that which was from the beginning.
Yes. In chapter 20, Satan is bound and destroyed. And then chapter 21, we reclaim that intimacy with God. And then the recreation happens and we're back at the tree of life. So this is how the Bible shows that everything is back to where it was supposed to be at the beginning.
Comes full circle. All right, this is how I wanted it in the beginning. We've had this little interruption called sin and rebellion. But you know what? I've paid the price for this, and now we're going to redeem you and restore all things just like new, maybe even better.
Yes, it's like you have a parenthesis in eternity.
Right.
You know, and now we're back to what God had decided from the very beginning. Now, before chapter 21, we are told that Satan goes through a period of time where he's bound for 1,000 years. And we always talk about heaven, but the final home of the people of God is actually in the earth. But on our same earth that was created for us at the very beginning. It says that it's recreated to be what it was supposed to be from the very beginning.
Jesus' plan is to restore things to Edenic idyllity. I mean, he wants to go back to that ideal of Eden and that purity for us to have intimacy and joy together.
So we have in chapter 1 and 2 this description that everything has been made new now in chapter 21.
Yeah, 21 verses 1 and 2, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, remember we've got a story of two cities we're going to talk about here, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride prepared for her husband.
So there's many topics here that you already recognize by now. First, we have the newness of the whole thing of heaven and earth. And then we're told that there's no longer any sea.
Yeah, sea represents sin in Scripture and evil, and so that's taken away. But the other thing that I think for John, this may have been important for him, he was writing this from Patmos. He was exiled to Patmos, and just across the sea, he knew these seven churches were, that he, people were there that he loved so much, his prison walls were the sea. No more separation between him and the people he loved.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, in the book of Revelation, we have many times the evil ones coming from the waters and the harlot sitting on many waters. And, you know, it represents evil. And the theological point here is that evil is no longer there. And we will get this again on verse 4, where we will be explaining in detail that there's no more evil.
And again, we've got the story of two cities. We've got Babylon, which represents sin and the way of man. But we also have this holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband.
By now, you already recognize also the language of bride. This is the good woman versus the harlot. And she is adorned for her husband because of the marriage of the Lamb that we have seen in the second coming.
Now, we also have talked throughout the times that we've been talking to you together through the Gospels and through Revelation about something called the covenant. And this is God's desire to be with his people. The covenantal praise, I will be their God, they will be my people. That is the phrase.
This is the covenant that, like Mike said, is throughout the Bible. This started back in Genesis because that was the reason why humanity was created. So here we have the consummation of this covenant where finally God is with us and finally we are with him.
We find this in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them.
You know, it's interesting because when we read this phrase, it looks that, okay, finally the tabernacle of God is with men, but we don't realize that the tabernacle is God himself because there's no longer need for a tabernacle. As a matter of fact, if I can take you for a moment to the end of this chapter, on verse 22 and verse 23 of the same chapter, it says that there's no more temple or tabernacle or anything because God himself is in the midst. So when it says the tabernacle is with them means he is with them.
Yeah, he is the tabernacle. He is the temple, the place at which we worship.
Yeah, you want to read verse 22 and 23?
Verse 22 and 23, it says, and I saw no temple in it, speaking here of the New Jerusalem, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb.
So no longer is needed anything of the things that we've had all along. Even starting in Exodus, we remember the tent of meeting and the places where God would meet with his people. Now God is in the middle of this city. There's no need for any more buildings or for anything else because it is his presence, and his very presence lights up the world of the new earth.
It comes back to how all things are found in Jesus. All things are wrapped up in him. The temple? No, he's the temple. Truth? No, he is the truth.
Yeah.
Life? No, he is the life.
Correct.
Light? No, he's the light.
All he's things everything.
He is everything. Verse 4, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Praise God for that verse.
Oh, praise God for that verse is right, because many times in funerals, and I'm sure you have used it too, this is the verse that in which we can visualize or just think about a day when all these things that we have around us are not going to be there anymore. And no more tears, no more death. No more pain, no more crying. All these things belong to the previous life, says God.
Yeah.
When you're in the New Jerusalem, remember there's no more sea, which means there's no more evil. None of these things are around because finally we have come full circle.
It was never God's intent that it be here in the first place. And so finally he's getting rid of it. It's going to be gone. And those of us who have cried, how long? He's saying, this long is over. Look at verse 5. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.
See, remember the full circle when we said God, we were made in God's image. Here, God reminds us that we're back to that relationship, that we are his son or his daughter, his children, and that the circle is complete. And there is an invitation here that says that he will give us to drink of this water of life without cost. Actually, the cost is very high, but he has paid for it.
Yeah, there's no cost to us.
Yes.
Jesus paid that cost, and the price for it was astronomical because it took his blood, his life. So someone has paid. This is not cheap grace because he paid a lot for it.
Yes, and you know, this language comes from the prophet Isaiah. chapter 55, verse 1. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, and without money and without cost. We have this invitation here, come and I'll give you water without cost, not only on chapter 21, but also on chapter 22. God's saying, come on, this is the way things are. This is the end of the whole thing. Come and buy my water, come and be my son, and we're going to live happily ever after.
I cannot tell you how many times I've tried to pay for the water of life, how I've tried to pay for the bread of life through my good works. But you know what? It's never been enough. To receive it as a free gift from his hand, that is the appeal of Scripture here as we come to the end of the Bible. He's saying, I've already paid the price for you. Why would you try to pay for it again? It's already given to you.
That's true. And this is a true promise. This is a witness that is faithful and true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invite you to grab a little piece of paper and write down Revelation 21, verse 4, so that you have a reminder when you watch the news, when you see a difficult thing, when you have a tear in your eye, here we have it. Verse 4, there is a time coming that all of this is done away with.
And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.
I really can't wait for this time in which God will be with us and we will be with him, an eternal Emmanuel, never to part again.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.